When we celebrate Reformation Sunday, inevitably we go back to the time period in which the Reformation began, sometime in the early 16th century. If you're looking for a precise year it began, I would suggest 1517, but that's the year Luther posted his famous 95 Theses. But any investigation into a historic time period is accompanied by the question, just what does all this history have to do with me? Luther lived and worked in a different time, on a different continent, in a Germanic society and culture far different from our own. We don't live in a society of feudalism governed by electors and an emperor. And when we read about Luther's battles, you know, the theological arguments he made over and above the Roman Catholic Church, you may find yourself thinking, gee, at the end of the day, his enemy just isn't our enemy. Last I checked, none of you were running off to make a pilgrimage somewhere. Indulgences don't save. Purgatory is a money-making myth, we know. Praying and calling upon salvation from the Blessed Virgin Mother is neither commanded in Scripture nor needed. Justification is a free gift. It is not something you earn by merits within the flesh. And one does not have to listen to a pope in order to determine how he or she is saved. These teachings, the teachings of Rome that Luther battled, they all had one thing in common. And that is, ultimately, they take one's gaze off of Jesus and they direct the sinner to his or herself. In other words, Luther's battle was for the gospel. Luther's struggle was for something much more than a church free from error, but it was to bring back to the center of the church the importance of sins forgiven, what it means to be justified before God. Can it take place on account of the flesh and work of man? Or is it something that God does? And he has done it through the person and redeeming work of Jesus Christ. The Reformation, it took place in a different time, a long time ago, on different soil. Fighting against Roman Catholicism may not be on our minds today as it was for Luther and his cohorts of the 16th century. The teachings of Rome, they are still present. Maybe not as popular, but they are there, official and codified in Catholic doctrine. But they don't keep me up at night. I'm not worried about an Inquisition or the Jesuits coming and banging on my door to find out what I believe. However, if we look at the Reformation, if we look at Luther's work, and we see it not just a battle against a tyrannical church, but if we look at it and see Luther was battling for something even more than that, he was battling for the gospel. If we see the Reformer laboring to bring clarity and understanding to the biblical gospel and the comfort and consolation that comes from knowing we are forgiven, justified by God's grace through faith in Christ, if this is how we are to see Luther's battle, because he saw the gospel in Holy Scripture and he believed it, then friends, his battle isn't all that different than our battle today as the church. Because we still strive for the gospel. Perhaps one subtle distinction is, while Luther was fighting to get the gospel back to the center, we are fighting to keep it at the center. To summarize this, yes, the Reformation is a very different movement in terms of when it took place, where it took place. But if we describe that medieval movement as one for the pure word of God and God's work to redeem man, then friends, let us not be deceived. This is a battle we still fight today, and we cannot afford to lose it. Ten Commandments. Apostles' Creed. Baptism. Lord's Prayer. Confession and Absolution. Lord's Supper. We hear about this stuff all the time. Maybe too much. That phrase, the forgiveness of sins, it's a worn-out phrase, isn't it? There must be something more to the Christian life than hearing about Jesus on a gory cross all the time. Even the word justification, it's in the Bible, but it's a technical-sounding word without any personal meaning. The Bible is old. Today is new. We need a new word of God, a new revelation, guiding and directing His church in a changing world. Even our confession of faith for Missouri Synod Lutheran is from the 16th century. It's a long time ago, and we are in the 21st century. Is it still relevant today? Don't worry, I don't buy into any of those arguments. It's okay, breathe easy. But that rhetoric, friends, is out there. It is there. Beware. Beware. You see, when the sinful flesh becomes restless, when we get tired, bored of hearing the same old thing, we look for better things. Things that are more effective than those things upon which God has stamped His seal of approval. Okay, sure, so it's not a temptation to buy an indulgence that bothers you. But we have other temptations. Maybe to neglect coming to church because it's just too much trouble. Yes, it may not be a pope that we listen to, but it may be another person. Or it may be our very own flesh, as if our feelings or emotions or desires can tell us everything we need to know about God. Christian, there is no difference between listening to someone else or listening to your heart within, because both sources are not the concrete, objective, holy word of God. One of the great solas of the Reformation, Scripture alone, was the tenet that says it is in Scripture that we find everything we need, everything sufficient for salvation that is there. Please don't go diving into your heart thinking it has something better to say than God's holy word. And it may not be a pilgrimage that we are making to earn God's mercy and favor, but there are other things we do to puff ourselves up. One of the things about gossip is the old Adam likes it, because it's always good to hear that juicy piece of information that makes that neighbor look worse than you are. Friends, my point is this. Man has always tried to take the kingdom of God for himself in his own way and on his own terms. It may not be a papacy that bothers us today, but there are other temptations, and they are very real and very powerful. The devil, you see, he can change on the fly. He's very good about adopting and masquerading as that angel of light, and he will not cease at trying to dig his claws into the holy church of God. And that is why the message of the Reformation is so important. The remedy to all of this, to sin, to death, disease, sickness, the remedy is the one that Luther and so many saints before and after raised by God fought for, and that is the gospel, the message of Christ crucified for the sins of the world. And it is in our Lord's teaching, in His word, by which we hear of the great refuge we have in our Lord, the great salvation our Lord and our God has achieved and won for us. And He's done it through the person and work of Christ. And that salvation is not something that we earn by pilgrimages or indulgences or anything we can conjure up in our minds. Faith grabs it. Faith grabs it. And from that faith, Christian, works will come. The good tree will bear good fruit. Don't worry. God says it. But you, O sinner, are forgiven. Your sins are put away. In the gospel lesson today, there is a short little parable. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. What does that mean? Well, God doesn't dance just because you play a tune you're fond of. He doesn't mourn just because you are playing the dirge. How that shakes out in Scripture is John the Baptist and Jesus didn't jump when the people said jump. John the Baptist didn't come only to give the people what they desired. But John the Baptist had a very hard message, a message of repentance, and one that ultimately cost him his life at the hands of Herod. Our Lord Jesus did not come simply to tickle itching ears and appease the people, but Christ came to give salvation. He came to give salvation to mankind. And in our Lord's teaching, in his message, part of that message is what we hear in Romans 3. In Romans 3, we hear, all have sinned and fall short the glory of God. Fall short. But people of God, where does that shortfall leave us? Exactly where we should be. In the hands of our Savior. In the mercy and grace that is ours on account of our Savior and his redeeming work. And so on this Reformation Sunday, let us remember this. That justification, God declaring you righteous for the sake of his Son, innocent because Jesus has your sins, that is a gift unto you. It is not earned, but Christ has earned it for you. Christ gives it to you. And because of this great gift, because of God saying, you, my child, are forgiven for the sake of Jesus and his work, you are righteous to even enter the marriage feast of the Lamb. Let's not put this on the back burner because we think we have something better. Because nothing surpasses the love and compassion and mercy that is ours on account of Christ and his work. Because the world is changing. Changing today, and will do so until the end of time. Ebola will come and go, but don't worry, there'll be another disease. Pestilence, famine, sickness, disease, and death. Sins that plague our own flesh, they will be here in this life. But people of God, none of that needs to bother you or frighten you. The message of the Reformation gives us comfort when we face those things. And that is why that message is just as relevant today as it was in the 16th century. Because our Lord and our God is still as he was back then. The remedy for sin, sickness, and disease. And it is because of Christ you can leave here and go out into the world, and at night your heads can hit the pillow in peace. In the peace of knowing you belong to your Lord and your God. You have no need to fear that which kills the body but cannot kill the soul. And friends, nothing can separate you. Nothing can separate you from God's love for you in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember that. And let us pray to our dear Lord and God that we always keep that at the center of our lives. And let us pray that by his grace, we always believe it. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.